Wednesday, October 26th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, as I mentioned at the end of yesterday's podcast, it was a month ago that we started our new Friday feature, Ask the Pastor. And by the way, if you have a question for Harry, you can send your question to askthepastor@briarwood.org. Harry, we have been so overwhelmed with a number of great questions from our listeners that we have decided to take an extra day to try to catch up on some of these questions. Harry, our first question comes from Philip. He asks, when is it right or wrong to resist, that is, not to comply or become ungovernable in response to a perceived perverse progressive government religious order?
Well, I mean, that's pretty simple. If it is a perverse progressive order, that means it's against the will of God. And that's your answer. It's really a very simple answer to that. The Bible makes clear that we are called to submit unless an order or directive or law is causing us to transgress the law of God. So if something is making me transgress God's law, particularly as it is bound up in the apodictic law of God, the Ten Commandments, then I have a duty to disobey. That becomes my duty to disobey. It also becomes my obligation to take the penalty for that. Now, you have to differentiate between something that's governmental and something that's a private enterprise. If a company makes a particular requirement and I don't want to do it, they have every right to make that requirement as long as they are not transgressing the law of the land. But if it's a governmental situation, you not only have the obligation if they are, you know, if they're going to make me steal, if they're going to make me bear false witness, if they're going to make me lie or not allow me to speak the truth, then in fact, in a governmental situation, I can bring a lawsuit, I can bring an appeal, I can bring a complaint. I have all of those things that are available to me at a moment like that and can make use of the judicial process. So there are three steps to this that I always share with people if they're in the context of a family, the state, or the church. Number one, the church is a voluntary organization. You can make your appeal, and if they are deciding to go one way or another on a doctrine or teaching or whatever, then it's a voluntary relationship. You can leave it and go to another church, or you can make the appeal through that church's governmental system. If it's the family, then you're called to submit, and if you don't submit, then you have to take the punishment within that family, which of course cannot break the law of the land in its severity. And then secondly, if it's the government and they're making you do something, for instance, I know of some folks that were in the military that I pastor that didn't want to take the vaccine that was being mandated. So we searched out ways that they could make the appeals. And then through that appeal process, it took a while, but thankfully that was countermanded. But I explained to them that means you have to be willing to lose your position in the military if you decide to do that. So, whenever we're caused to transgress God's law, we must obey God rather than man. Whenever we decide that we are going to obey God rather than man, then we have to be ready to use an appeal process. We have to be ready to take the consequences for our action and then give glory unto the Lord for how we bear up in such situations.
Harry, our second question comes from Taylor. I have a question regarding the Sabbath. Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath, or is it okay to substitute another day? How does the fourth commandment apply to the Christian today?
Historically, out of the Reformation, biblical Protestant Christianity has said that the Sabbath was given at creation, and it was the seventh day of the week. Then the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, in the lives of God's people, the theocracy of Israel, took on ceremonial and redemptive dynamics. When Christ came, he fulfilled the ceremonial dynamics. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He went to the cross on the day before the Sabbath. He rested in the grave on the Sabbath day, then came forward on the first day of the week. Therefore, you see in the Scripture that while the apostles would go to evangelize at the synagogue on the Sabbath, they began to keep the Lord's Day as a church. So you find Christ in his 40-day ministry, post-resurrection, prior to his ascension. You see Christ gathering his disciples on three different occasions. It's clear that he gathered them on the first day of the week, what became known by the time of the Apostle John writing the book of Revelation as the Lord's Day. So, yes, what we believe is that the Lord's Day, by Christ's resurrection, by Christ's example, and by apostolic precept and apostolic example, has become the Christian Sabbath. Remember how Paul said, "Bring what you have purposed to give on the first day of the week in worship and praise to God." So that's what we believe. Now back up just for a moment. Here is Christ, the second Adam, who comes out of the grave on the first day of the week, announcing the triumph of our redemption. And now the Christian Sabbath points back to his resurrection and points forward to his second coming. Secondly, the first Adam was made on what day in creation? The sixth day. And what was his first day? His first day was not a work day. His first day was the creation Sabbath, the seventh day. So Adam's first day was a Sabbath. Second Adam, Christ, comes forward on the first day of the week, and that becomes the Christian Sabbath, even as it was anticipated all the way from creation itself. So Tom, here's what we have is 1 and 7. Now, having said that, let me say one more thing. If you are in a situation like I am, where I have to work on the Christian Sabbath, what should you do? Well, I try to keep Sabbath for my family starting on Saturday night through Sunday night. We set that day aside for our family to worship God, to rest from our normal labor. The Bible says that there are works of ministry, works of necessity, and works of providence that have to be done on the Sabbath. If your ox is in the ditch, you can bring them out. For some of us, of necessity, firefighters, policemen, pastors, and others, we have to work on that day. Then you still need to keep Sabbath one day a week, but keep helping your family keep the Lord's Day as the Lord's Day.
Let me be more direct in this question. What about those churches that say, hey, come to our church, we can worship on Saturday night, that way you can sleep in on Sunday morning?
Well, I can't deal with motive, but I will say this. I think you could make an argument for a Saturday night worship service and still honor the Lord's Day, because in the Jewish understanding of day, the day starts in the evening. So from sundown to sundown is the day. So I think you could argue for that. Now, that may not be their motivation, but there are some churches I know that are faithful churches that love the Lord's Day, and they grew so much they started a Saturday night service, but they wouldn't begin it until the sun was down, because that began the Sabbath day. What I don't believe is given to us is, hey, for consumer reasons, we can have a worship service any day we want to. Well, that's a giveaway. It's not a worship service. That's a giveaway. It's an attraction point to bring people together. No, when you worship the Lord, you worship in spirit and in truth. And God has said 1 day in 7 is to be set aside. And I believe the weight of the example of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the example of the apostles, the precepts of the apostles, and the early church clearly puts that on the first day of the week. In terms of the Sabbath continuing, it is very clear that it continues in the fulfilled work of Christ. As the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that the Sabbath rest continues. Remember what Jesus said, "I did not make man for the Sabbath, I made the Sabbath for man." The Sabbath precept that we now celebrate on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, is God's gift to us. It is not a burden. The rhythm of a Christian Sabbath on the Lord's Day is a glorious blessing and gift from our Lord.
On Friday, we will return to additional questions for our Ask the Pastor feature. If you have a question for Harry, send it to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.